I think that good communication is the groundwork of any successful relationship. It obviously accelerates getting to know somebody, makes it a lot easier to get to know somebody if they're a good communicator. But I also think that where it really shines and has real value is when there's friction.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and I have, drumroll.
Oh, am I supposed to drumroll?
Were you even paying attention? Did you even know we started?
Yeah, I knew we started.
You looked like you were like dazed off in La La Land.
I thought you were going to do the drum roll. Me.
Ta-da!
Me.
Well, last week we talked about red flags. This week we're here to talk about...
Green flags.
Yellow flags.
What?
Green flags. Just kidding. Green flags. I have a few green flags. I think I had more red flags than I have green flags, but also we'll see what the Lord does.
I didn't know that green flags were really a thing.
Yeah.
Until I heard you and your girlfriends talking.
Guess what else is a thing? Beige flags.
What are beige flags?
So beige flags, I would say, is like a yellow light. Like, it's up to you whether you want to try to speed up or slow down. But yellow is not a cute color, so I think beige just kind of naturally felt aesthetic, and so
so beige flags would be in regard to dating for people who are aggressive color adverse.
Huh.
You.
I am very color adverse. Yes. Everything in my life is neutral.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I gave color a shot last year. Actually, this time last year. Do you remember? I went through like my bright color. I can't believe that was a year ago.
You did.
Pinks and orange and blue. And they were cute. But now I'm like, who am I?
It was almost like a little bit of a rebellious phase for you.
I think it was. Yeah. But you know, rebellion is witchcraft. So there's a reason the Lord got me back on the straight and narrow path to neutral colors.
Oh my gosh.
We won't open that can of worms today.
I already can't with this.
It's just, you know.
Who's going first, me or you?
I'll go first.
All right. Do we want to tell people what a green flag is?
Sure. Yeah, let's expand on that first. So I'll let you, do you want to expand on it?
No, go ahead. No, by all means.
You really pepped up like you were ready to.
Well, I just thought we shouldn't jump into this until we tell people what a green flag is.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. I was trying to jump the gun. So in my opinion, and again, you guys test everything we say, hold it against God's word to see if it stands true. In my opinion, a green flag is a sign of spiritual maturity or healthy relationship or just a healthy person in general. Things that you want your future spouse to have or withhold within them. I'm not saying they have to have all these because none of us are perfect by any means. I mean, I'm even looking at some of these and I'll specifically go into which ones I feel like I could work on. Because
I would love to go into those.
Well, you know, yeah, here we are. And I'm not afraid to call myself out and we all have our downfalls. But yeah, I think a green flag is something that you see fit to be a future spouse. You see that as, oh, I love that quality about them. That's what my future husband or wife, if a man is listening, would have within them.
Well said.
Yeah.
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 These are what you guys are looking for.
Yeah.
This is our list.
This is just our list. And again, there's probably so many that we didn't list. Honestly, these are the first six that came to my mind. And I think I'm looking at Jordan's and I think some of his are kind of silly, but also have good points. And so...
She'll call mine silly.
No, not silly. Not silly. The first one is what I was referring to. So do you want to go first?
I think that's a very important one.
I think this was actually in the Red Flags podcast too.
Yeah.
So why don't you go
first?
I'll
let you go first.
Okay.
I'll let you go first. Ladies first.
Oh, okay.
That goes back to green flag. If he lets you go first or lets you walk through the door first, opens the door for you.
That's a good one. Let's expand on that.
Allows you to order first.
Okay, but let's expand on that for a minute. So, you know, because I think there's probably a lot of girls listening. And from a man's perspective, say they go on a date. And this guy has all the green flags. He loves the Lord. He is respectful. He is attentive to them. You know, all the green flags that we're about to dive into. But he doesn't open their car door, or he doesn't open the door for them, period. Is that a deal breaker? Should it be a deal breaker? Or if it's not a deal breaker, how can they go about bringing that up to him? Like, hey, I would love to be pursued in this way too.
Okay. He didn't open the door?
Yeah. Any doors?
Any doors?
Yeah.
When you sat down for dinner, did he order first, or did he allow the woman to order first?
Oh, let's say he let her go first.
Oh, well, then maybe he was just nervous.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You think it'll come over time?
If he didn't open the door and ordered before the woman, I would say we have a lack of chivalry issue.
Yeah. So is that a deal breaker? Should it be a deal breaker?
Depends on what a girl wants.
I personally think it's so hard, right? Because there's guys out there that have good intentions. They just were never raised to know chivalry.
Yeah.
And I think you've also kind of spoiled me. Y'all, I've never touched a door in my life since I met this one. Maybe one time.
Yeah.
When I went, that's you get actually,
scolded.
No.
You get scolded for that.
Let's have a moment of honesty. So when him and I are in a disagreement, or if I'm mad at him for whatever reason, I will speed walk out to the truck or out to my car and purposely get to the door and open it myself. And it's just like that little Miss Independent, don't need no man moment. And then I'll get in the truck and he looks at me and he's like, did that make you feel better? Yeah, and I'm like, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Is that good? Did you get that out of your system?
Well, that's me confessing. That's an area I could work on. It's like a little like 5 second temper tantrum that I throw.
I mean, the utter just all in those moments, I just want to look over at you and I just want to say, grow up. Grow up.
But you don't. Because you love me. And yeah, those, which actually, I actually think I heard that on another TikTok. Another girl does that too. And I felt so seen.
The other aspect is the other where it can, the pendulum can swing the complete opposite direction is I have spoiled you so much that now if we're in a hurry,
yeah,
or let's say something like, I'm just like, it slipped my mind, or there have been the occasion where I have been in the truck with the truck started and looked over and you are still standing there looking at the truck door.
Because you've turned me into a princess.
Yeah.
I will literally, it could be pouring down rain, and if he does not open my door, I will stand there and stare at him like, hello, I'm right here. And maybe that sounds a little too princessy, but I say that to say this.
It's pretty princessy.
Yeah. Chivalry does still exist.
It's important to you.
It is very important to me because I didn't have that. I never had that.
Some people it's not important to.
Yeah. And I get that. You know, I think everyone has their own thing. So I would
say, back to your original question, like,
is it a deal breaker?
Is it a deal breaker for you? Well, that's person dependent. Mm-hmm. Like, is it something that, you know, that you never had? So you can go a lot of different ways that way. Like, you had it growing up from your dad, but you didn't have it in relationships.
Yeah.
So you knew to expect it.
Yeah.
There's some women out there that never had it from their father.
Yeah.
And also have never received it in a relationship. So they're going to be probably have the opposite reaction to it, where they're going to say, why do you keep opening my door? You think I can't do it?
Yeah. True.
So
that's a good point. Yeah.
It's all about what they expect.
Yeah. I would say let's classify that as a beige flag, because also I think men can learn to do it.
I don't think I can get on with this beige flag.
Would it help if it's a yellow flag? You love color.
I don't necessarily like love color. I just
look at your arms.
Okay, that's a good point.
Mr. Two arm sleeves with multiple colors on them.
Got me on that one.
Right. Moving on.
First on your list.
On my list. That was like 10 minutes of rambling. First on my list is he knows how to take ownership and take accountability. So what I mean by this is...
Why does it have to be he?
What do you mean?
You said
I'm speaking to the women.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's mostly... Now, if you're a man listening to this, then she knows how to take ownership and accountability. Your significant other, the one that you're pursuing. Let's just say that, because we believe that marriage is for a man and a woman, period, end of story. Free. I'm not going to open that can of worms right now. But yeah, that he knows how to take ownership and accountability. And I think in a sense that can really, that's like a blanket statement, right?
Unpack that. What do you mean? Ownership and accountability in what situations? Arguments?
I think areas of mistakes, like, mm-hmm. okay, today's a perfect example, right? We got home from church and I wasn't being short. I had a lot on my mind today for a lot of reasons. And there's a lot of moving pieces in our life right now. And Sundays for me are somewhat low key work days, because Saturdays are my Sabbath and I do work 6 days a week just with the line of work that I'm in. And so I had a lot of my mind after church. And also, like, my stomach was hurting because we ate Mexican food and I was just like, I don't feel good. I think the chicken I ate was actually bad. I don't know. Like, I felt nauseous. We ate
Mexican food for lunch.
Because I wanted it.
Upon your request.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But I just, like, I wasn't feeling good and I had a lot on my mind. Anyways, I was just kind of being short. Not a brat. I just was being really short with Jordan. And even with the dogs, like, the dogs were getting on my nerves. And I was just like, I just need, like, 5 minutes of just silence. And Jordan recognized that. And he's like, hey, I'm just going to give you your space for a minute. And he did. And then it took all of, like, 2 minutes of me coming into the office and the Holy Spirit started to convict me. And so what did I do? I walked in the bedroom and I laid on the bed with you and I said, hey, baby, I'm sorry. Like, that was kind of a jerk move of me. I'm really sorry that I'm being this way. And I explained what it was that was running through my mind and why I was feeling a little on edge in that moment.
Yeah.
And that is a perfect example of being able to take ownership and accountability. It's not being passive, not always putting the blame on other people, being able to say, hey, like, I messed up and I could have been better in this situation, or I'm sorry that I treated you that way, or I'm sorry that I said that. Also, I think this can go hand in hand too, because I know in the Red Flags podcast, we talked about how if they don't ever, like, own up to what they did wrong in past relationships, I think this can go a lot into that. That they're saying, you know, like, and I'm not going to, like, air personal dirty laundry on here by any means, but there were things that I did wrong in past relationships, as all of us have, right? It's part of learning in life. And what did I tell you? Like, when I first shared, when we first met, I shared about, like, you know, just past relationships. And I shared, this is where I went wrong.
Yeah.
This was the kind of person that I was. I could have been better. I'm not the same person now that I was then. And so I think just being able to say, like, yeah, that person treated me bad, but also I didn't help it, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of what I mean by that.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
My turn.
Your turn.
And I can't remember if we covered this in the Red Flags podcast, but you think we did? My first one?
We did, but you can expand on it.
My number one green flag is polite to servers and waiters on a date. I think that is one of the easiest judges of someone's character.
Yeah.
Even like, I mean, and it's easy to be nice to a server if everything goes right.
Yeah.
But like, if that person's meal is incorrect or something's wrong with their order, that is a really, really good judge of, and I think that translates into a relationship.
Yeah.
You can call me crazy, but I think that the way that they treat a complete stranger as their server or waiter is how that that's who they are.
Yeah.
I just think that's just a huge red and green flag for me. Like, if you're polite and, you know, like, that's one of the things that I love about you is, like, if you don't hear the server's name when they say it, you'll ask them, oh, I'm sorry, what was your name?
Yeah.
Like, addressing them by their names. Like,
I want them to feel seen. They're not just there to serve us. We can also be there to serve them as the body of Christ. And there have actually been multiple times where, gosh, this just happened like a month ago, where I got a word for one of our waitresses and I started praying over her. I asked her, I said, hey, can I pray for you? Like, the Lord just has you so heavy on my heart.
The Texas Roadhouse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. And she actually did. She was like, actually, and she got pretty choked up.
Yeah.
She was like, I actually do need a lot of prayer right now. This is what I'm walking through. And they're not there to just wait on you. Like, we're also there to be a light and a vessel for His kingdom for them, because you don't know what they're walking through. And yeah, I think waitresses and waiters and even bartenders, like
coffee, like baristas, yes, like,
they work so hard.
Yeah.
They work so hard. And I mean, especially when things are busy or crazy, and we tend to go to like a lot of popular spots, and then these waiters will be hosting like 15 tables at once. And I'm like, I don't know how they're doing this. Like that
seems like it.
Yeah. I can't even put the groceries away in the right spot, much less like, you know what I mean? So.
Oh, do I know what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's a good one because I think it does say a lot about someone's character. Yeah. Number two for me, they're not afraid to apologize first. And this is one of the ones that I could work on. I think that I wasn't always good at this because for whatever reason, right? Like I've been in abusive relationships, unfortunately, multiple ones. And for whatever reason, I just started to always take the blame. I started to say sorry a lot. And I think it got to the point where I didn't really even know what I was apologizing for. Mm-hmm. Because I was being gaslit and manipulated into thinking that I was always the problem. And so then there was a season where I realized, like, I'm done apologizing. Like,
yeah.
I have permission to take up space, that kind of mindset. And you can get prideful if you're not careful with that. And so I do struggle with this. It's just been a night and day difference. And I wouldn't say I struggle with this necessarily like with friendships. I would say it's more in marriage.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? Because I do as a friend, and my friends listen to this, they can correct me if I'm wrong and call me out. But I do as a friend, I always like to make sure, hey, are we good? Like, yeah. Did I say something? Did I do something? If so, let me know. And I apologize.
I've actually seen you. I don't think you struggle with this. I have noticed in our relationship or in our marriage, sometimes you'll respond to me with sorry. And I'm like, I'm not upset with you. I didn't ask for an apology. Like one is not needed here.
Yeah.
I don't know. That goes back to like, just really, truly like saying what you mean. And I'm like, you don't have anything to be sorry about in this moment.
Yeah.
I think you've swung the opposite end of the spectrum. I mean, if we're just being completely transparent, mm-hmm. I would say that you are sometimes stuck in apologizing for things that you don't need to apologize about.
Yeah. I think a lot of that has to do with the things that I've walked through the last 5 years too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it is what it is. And maybe that's an area that I need some more inner healing on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a mild therapy session on my podcast.
Here we go.
That's okay. If my story can even help one person feel a little more seen and heard in theirs, then that's what it's about. So yeah, I would say they're not afraid to apologize first. I think that's a huge indicator that they're not prideful, because it does take us dying to our flesh to be able to apologize and say, hey, I messed up.
Yep, I agree.
What's your next one?
Asks questions about you, doesn't just talk about themselves.
Yeah.
I think that like, it's one of those things. I think that if, in my mind, a good date or a good, like in the beginning of a relationship, mm-hmm. We can even call it a first date.
Yeah.
Looks a lot like each person taking turns asking questions about the other person.
Yeah.
Not going on a dissertation about yourself.
Lord have mercy.
Purely responding to the question that's asked. It shows you that the other person is interested.
For sure.
And I just think it's a genuine way to approach a date. And I think that that's a good, a green flag is they ask questions about you.
Yeah.
And don't just talk about themselves the whole time.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. And I think in this self-conceited, self-centered world, it's very easy to find people that could sit and talk about themselves for 30 minutes. I know for me, I get very uncomfortable even in going on coffee dates. Like when someone asks like, hey, how are you? What's going on in your life? I'm like, and change the subject. I guess I'm so mindful of that because I know that hard for me to sit around.
I think that also goes, so on the flip side, if they are completely shut down mm-hmm. about speaking about themselves, when asked, there could be something there.
Yeah.
So there has to be a good balance. I think there has to be a good balance of asking questions, but then also, offers information freely when asked.
Yeah. And doesn't try to hide or push under the rug. Like when Jordan and I first met, which most of you guys probably know this unless you're new here, wouldn't recommend this by any means, but we actually aired all of our dirty laundry on the first date. And my motive behind that was I had been through multiple bad apples, one of which, the last one before Jordan, told me that no one would ever want to sign up for my baggage. So that was awesome. And here we are. four actually, that we've known each other almost. And I think he signed up. I think it's safe to say that. But my intentions behind that first date were, I'm just going to get all this out there and God is going to let the right one want to stay around.
Sure.
And he did.
Yeah.
And you did. And I wouldn't necessarily say that's the greatest first date move, but it worked for us. And because what I didn't know was that my deepest, darkest secrets and skeletons in the closet were also his. And we immediately connected over that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, who are you?
Yeah.
Like, you're not scared of my stuff. You're not intimidated by it, any of it. And that was just so beautiful to me.
Refreshing.
It was, because yeah. Most people are, you know, head for the hills. And so, yeah, I would say definitely be willing to open up and share when asked, but also ask questions and have interest in them too. My next one is that they deeply love the Lord and pursue him above all else. I feel like this is...
I mean, duh.
I feel like this should have been first. No, but this is like, you would think that this is common sense for Christian women, but I think we overlook it sometimes, or we try to give men the benefit of the doubt. And
I see that though.
Like, you know what I mean?
I see value in the benefit of the doubt.
Like, oh, he cute. He's got a good job. He drives a nice car. He kind of loved the Lord. We can work on that. I can fix him. No, absolutely not. God is not asking you to be a fixer. Has it worked out for a lot of people? Yeah, of course. Like, you hear those stories all the time where neither one of them are pursuing the Lord. And then all of a sudden they both get radically saved. Yes, absolutely. But if you're on fire for Jesus, like pursuing him every single day at all cost, I don't think that he wants you to be yoked with someone who's going to pull you back. That's just my personal opinion. And so I think that would be the first green flag you should look for, is his walk with the Lord. Does he have visible fruit? Can you see his fruit? Because the Bible tells us that you will know them by their fruit. And if he doesn't have that, then I guess I could kind of be a red flag,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is a really tricky one. Deeply loves the Lord and pursues him with all, above all else. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's a seasoned Christian.
Yeah.
You know, I think you know where I'm going with this.
It doesn't have to be.
It's a desire.
Absolutely.
It's a desire. And then also the character that's already there, that's already present.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's a good one on your list.
Yeah. I'm not saying he has to be a preacher, pastor, youth minister. Like, he doesn't have to be on the worship team.
Hasn't read the Bible 7 years in a row.
Yeah. Like, he could be, I mean, when Jordan and I met, I was what? 2 years into my walk with the Lord, and you were a year, like truly, we both grew up Christian, but like truly surrendering. And so, yeah, God can do a lot with that surrender. What's your next one?
My next one, simply put, good communicator.
Ooh, expand on that.
That's a green flag. I think that good communication is the groundwork of any successful relationship.
Yeah.
I think it obviously accelerates getting to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it a lot easier to get to know somebody if they're a good communicator and you both people are good at communication. But I also think that where it really shines and has real value is when there's friction.
Yeah.
A good communicator can communicate through friction and through problems, disagreements, fights, misunderstandings. So that's, I just think that that's a pivotal thing, and it's a green flag. If you find yourself, like you've said numerous times, the majority of listeners are females. If a female finds herself a good man who checks off a lot of boxes, not all of them, but he's a good communicator and can bring that to the table to communicate his feelings. Mm-hmm. Men are not typically good at communicating their feelings. And I think that falls back a lot of times, not to insecurity, but I think it's because a lot of men are not good communicators.
Yeah. Wow.
Like I think that men don't share their feelings because they don't know how to communicate it.
That's so good.
Well, a good communicator will know how to communicate their feelings and what bothers them, what they like, what they dislike, communicate about their past, communicate about their beliefs.
Yeah.
So I just think it's all around just a valuable attribute that if a female finds her a man who doesn't necessarily check off all the boxes, but he's a good communicator, mm-hmm. something to think about.
Wow. That's so good. Yeah. And I think a lot of women, they try to pry things out of men too. Like,
you don't have to pry out of a good communicator.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if he's not, they'll try to pry it out of him. And then there can be some frustration there.
Sure.
Like, from the male perspective, because he's like, I don't know what you want me to say, you know? But I will say that's one thing that I love about you is you are one of the best communicators that I have ever met. I joke when people ask, like, how is he good at communicating? And my little inside joke is like, this man could literally convince someone to put their own handcuffs on. Like, he is so good at communication, and not in a manipulative way at all. It's just, you are so good at getting your point across in a loving, graceful way, tactful way. Me, on the other hand, if I feel like I'm trying to talk to someone and they're not hearing me, or I don't feel seen or validated from my perspective, I tend to get frustrated, mm-hmm. and I can get not necessarily short. I can get very stern.
Either stern, or I've seen you shut down.
Or shut down. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I can do both. So
yeah,
I think communication is everything. And we have this thing where we say there's nothing that good communication can't solve in marriage, mm-hmm. period. End of story. Like, hey, I messed up. Hey, sorry for, you know, this or that. Like, yeah. Communication is the end all be all of so many things.
I think it's the bedrock of a healthy relationship.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And especially in a dating season, like, mm-hmm. you want to know who you're marrying, and you can't, there's no way to know that if you're not having deep conversations. Like, you can figure out what color purple or what your favorite color is later on down the road. Like, you know, like, I don't even know. What is my favorite color?
The lack of color. We've already discussed this.
And yours is green.
Probably green or blue.
Yeah. But see, like, my point is this, like, we didn't even really, we had to kind of guess that, because that wasn't our main focus. All the surface level things, our main focus in the dating season was getting to truly know each other, conversing mm-hmm. about the hard things, about your past, why you're wired the way that you are. What did Jesus do for you? I mean, if you really want to get to know someone, ask them their testimony. Like,
that's good.
Sit across from them and say, hey, what has Jesus done for you? And I guarantee you, like, one, it's you're going to be, it's deep, and you're going to be able to tell two things. If they have fruit, because if they do, they're going to have a testimony. And if they don't, they're not going to know what that is. And mm-hmm. there's a good indicator that maybe that's not your person.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So is it my turn?
Number four.
I think this could be a little controversial in the Christian community, but we're going to go for it anyways. They're willing to take things slow and at a healthy pace. So slow can mean a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of Christians that they meet and they get married 2 weeks later. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. there's Christians that wait 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
And for us, ours was pretty fast.
I was going to say, yeah.
We got married. We started dating.
I was comfortable with our pace, though.
It was very healthy for our age, because we're in our 30s. Yeah. I think when you're in your 30s versus your early 20s, it's just a lot different. Mm-hmm. You have more of an understanding of who you are, what you want in marriage, what you want in life, what you want in a future spouse, versus when you're in your 20s, you're like, I'm just here for fun. Usually, at least speaking from experience, like, I was like, oh, he's cute. Like, sure. And then we know how that ended, you know? So, I think just being mindful of the pace, like, here's the thing. The Bible doesn't say anything about how long you have to date. The Bible doesn't say anything about dating, period. It says if it is better to marry than to, you know, be caught up in lust, mm-hmm. and have sexual desires. So take that for what it is. However, I think also too, on the flip side, in this lust driven world, we can let our flesh lead, and we can think that, oh, because they're giving me butterflies and I'm feeling, let's just be honest, like, I feel turned on. Like, I feel like, you know, I really want to have sexual intimacy with them. Let's just get married. Mm-hmm. Like, if that is the groundwork of your relationship,
it's a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
It is. And it's bound to fail. I hate saying that, but like, if you're getting married just for sex, I mean, God can do anything, but like, is that is that healthy? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to get on the other side of that marriage and you're going to have sex. And sex is going to be good for the first few months, right? Because sex is fun. But then you're going to hit real life and marriage. And you're going to go on.
There's no substance there.
No, there's no depth. Like if you don't have, I'm telling you guys, like hard times are going to come. And sex is not the solve all be all. It might be at first. You know, because it is fun, but it's not the solve all be all. And if you can't communicate and you don't have emotional intimacy and you don't have communication and you don't know each other's deepest heart's desires and deepest struggles and deepest downfalls and all of those things, like where's the relationship? I'm speechless. Like where's the relationship?
Where do you go from there?
Yeah. And so I think just, you know, Christians can have a lot of pressure to get married fast because that's just like the, I'm doing air quotes, the thing to do. Mm-hmm. Take it at a healthy pace. I don't care if you're in your 30s or you feel like you're running out of time or you're in your 40s and you're getting married for, you know, the second time. Like it is better to take it at a slower pace and know that you know that you know that that is your person.
Yeah.
To prevent future heartbreak than to rush into something simply for the fact of being able to go behind closed doors and have fun.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't have a lot of follow up there because that was well said. Yeah. I agree with that.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can't take any credit for that.
Number four, for my list, I feel like this goes without saying, good hygiene.
Ba-dunch.
I mean, do I need to dive into this?
I feel like that's a given.
I feel like, and I'm not being shallow. I'm just saying.
Can you expand on that though? Like, what? Why does that like roll into like how they care for their things and how they take care of their home and their
sure. I think that goes into it a little bit.
Cleanliness in general,
like organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you know me, I'm an organizer.
Very meticulous.
If I had the first time I walked into your house and said and like just saw it, just a train wreck, that would have been a red flag for me.
Yeah. Well, because it's also bad stewardship.
Yeah.
You know, and stewardship is, I feel like that goes into a lot of things. Like you can steward your relationship, your marriage, your home, your kids, your job, your car. Yeah. There's just.
No, and the hygiene aspect goes deeper than just like personal hygiene, like your body. Obviously, if someone does not take care of their body.
Yeah.
As far as cleanliness goes, like that's probably a red flag. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's a green flag when they, and maybe you might have helped me change my verbiage here. Maybe, instead of good hygiene, good stewardship, because they can steward their bodies. They can steward their belongings. They can steward their dwelling.
Finances,
their vehicle, their just take care of their stuff.
Yeah.
That's someone who, puts a high priority on stewardship. I'm glad you actually changed my direction there. Cause that's really more of what I meant by it. I think, you know, personal hygiene goes without saying, but yeah, good stewardship
and
is
that can go into their health stuff. Too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, are they taking care of their body? Like
that was something that I needed help with.
Yeah.
I was broken and tattered and just beat down when we first met, still coming off surgery.
Your body had gone through a lot. Like you were, you know, I won't say what you did unless you want to, but like with everything that you've done in the past, like you've been through concussions and you've gotten hit by cars and run over and just like crazy stuff that I'm like, how are you still functioning? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, your body had been through a lot. And then when you had to have your Achilles tendon surgery, like that set you back. And I recognized like, oh, he has this in him. He just needs a little help, a little encouragement.
Yeah.
And now here you are just walking around with a six pack again. And I'm like, seriously? It's like you just ate two carrots and bam, there they are. And
no, I ate the whole bag of carrots. What are you talking about?
My point exactly. I could eat a whole bag of carrots and it just does nothing. It's just women. It's just different for us. And it's not fair.
You get so frustrated with it.
I do. Because I'm like, what the heck? I've been in the gym 6 days a week. I'm vigorous with my diet. I eat the same thing every single day.
I'll never forget the look. Yeah, you do. I never forget the look on your face when I had gotten back in the gym. And I think it was like maybe the second or third time I had been really like hardcore back in the gym. And I was like, hey, babe, come here. I was like, come here, come check this out. And you walked into the bathroom and I had my shirt off and like my abs were already visible. And you're like, I think you literally, like, the look of disdain and disgust on your face.
But also so attracted. I was like, yeah, my husband is so hot.
All I saw in that moment was your look of disdain and disgust. And you were just like, I hate you. Like, I literally hate you. And you just walked away.
I'm saying is I can't wait to see what our kids do. Because, like, I feel like with your genetics and with my long legs.
Well, I'm hoping. Praying for them scholarships.
Yeah, we'll see.
What's your number five?
My number five, that they've taken the time to heal from past trauma. I feel that's important. Yeah. That's really important because it's like that infamous thing. If you're jumping from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship, there's a lot of water under the bridge. Like we need to sit down and have a chat. Why are you doing this? I'm actually walking a girl through, I mentor a few women and I'm walking a girl through this right now. And we had a real hard discussion this last week. And I said, hey, like, I want to challenge you to take 30 days, no boys, nothing, not talking to them, not texting them, no phone calls, no FaceTime. Don't even try to think about them. 30 days. I want you to focus on your walk with the Lord. And that's really hard for her because she's jumped from boy to boy to boy. And I think that we have to be able to recognize, like, have they taken the time to heal? Have they taken the time to heal from past relationships, to heal from trauma? Childhood trauma is a real thing. Mm-hmm. You and I have walked through that with my stuff. And just being able to see that they're I'm getting caught up on my words here, that they're making the effort,
yeah,
to address move forward it. From it, yeah. and address it, yeah. Face it head on, rather than just try to bury it and push it under a rug and hope that it never comes and resurfaces. Because when you get in marriage, it's gonna resurface.
Yeah, I took I think we discussed this. I don't know if I've shared this like on the podcast or anything publicly, but I was recently divorced when we met. And when I say recent, the paperwork had been filed, but due to the mandatory waiting time in the state of Texas, like I was separated, had already filed for my annulment, which we can't even call it a divorce, but, yeah. I took about a month and a half. I probably could have used a little bit more time to heal from that. But one thing that I will say as kind of a rebuttal to yours is you really helped me through a lot of that stuff.
You had a prophetic word spoken over you.
Yeah.
And there was a word spoken over Jordan by, I forget her name. It was one of your elders in your life. And it was when he was walking through his annulment and he was just crushed.
That was my Aunt Natalie.
Aunt Natalie. Yeah. He was crushed.
My grandma's sister.
He went to her and he said, you know, I think I'm just going to be an uncle. And she literally looked at him, and this woman hears from the Lord, like she calls heaven down, and she looked at you and she said, there's a girl waiting for you. Go meet her. And didn't she say like you're going to meet her in like a month or something like that?
It was pretty close to, yeah.
It like she knew the timeline of it.
Yeah.
And I remember your mom told me this, your mom said, yeah, he kind of laughed at it thinking like, yeah, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Little did he know that she was actually prophesying over him that he was going to meet me in about a month and a half, 2 months. And we met and we didn't start dating for about 3 months after that. Yeah,
we took it slow. And what I say by that is I wasn't, I think I was in a healthy place, but I wasn't completely healed.
Yeah.
And you helped me heal that last little bit.
Yeah.
So like, I agree with your point. I would just say like, sometimes they may need the little bit of help over the finish line with that with some of the trauma that they may deal with. And sometimes if it's the right person, I think they can be the person that helps get them over the finish line.
Yeah. And I think by that, and feel free to step in. I don't think Jordan's implying that you're their therapist. That's not what we're saying at all. What we're saying is like,
I needed healthy.
Yeah.
I needed someone. And it was, you are so independent. I needed someone that wasn't going to use me.
Yep.
I needed someone that didn't need me to function.
I was this little miss shoes on my feet. I bought them.
So like, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No. And I think that, yeah, if they're in that place and they need to heal from something, like really encourage them to go to a counselor, mm-hmm. to get inner healing at a church. Like inner healing has helped me tremendously. I still go. I actually went to literally the day after I miscarried. You remember that? Mm-hmm. The day after I miscarried, I was in a dark place and Jordan called my inner healing counselor and she got me in right away. And I was there for what, about 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
And
love that woman.
Got delivered of quite a few things and it's so good. You can never have too much of it. So your next one.
My last one.
Yeah.
Respects boundaries.
Okay.
And you know me. I am not, how do I say that? I think that sometimes boundaries are a cop-out.
For sure.
On things.
Yep.
But I think in a dating relationship, boundaries are very important.
They're vital.
And a green flag would be someone who respects those.
Yeah.
And also has them, yeah, for sure in the bedroom.
Yep.
But also just in... back into communication, back into, I mean, there's so many, I think that healthy boundaries in a dating relationship are everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
And it's, yeah. Every relationship is going to be different.
Yep.
And so I think that a green flag is someone who, not only respects them, but reiterates them.
Yeah.
Honors them.
Absolutely.
Like that's a huge green flag.
Yeah. When you have to, yeah, you have to set those from the get-go. I mean, I think we could expand a little bit on the physical boundaries because that's probably the main one that a lot of people want to know about, what that looks like, how to navigate that. I think you have to set that pace from the get-go. That was a conversation
that... You can't go back.
No. So Jordan and I, we went to coffee after I canceled on him. But the night before we went to coffee, he called me and we talked on the phone for almost 4 hours. And towards
Why did I call you? To begin with,
I actually don't know the answer to that.
What?
Why did you call
you
me?
You know this story.
Oh, it was that COVID. One, mustache.
It was COVID.
You were a mustache man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you messed up your beard. I thought you meant like you had a heart desire behind it. I was like, I don't know if I know the answer to that, babe. Yeah, he called me to tell me that he had a mustache, which little did I know that that call was going to turn into 4 hours of really getting to know each other. And I kind of used it selfishly as a vetting opportunity because I just wanted to make sure that you were not like going to catfish me. And he didn't by any means. But I think that one of the things that I love that we did was towards the end of that 4 hour phone call, we talked about sex before marriage. And I was brutally honest. And I said, hey, like, I know this might be a deal breaker for you. And I totally respect if it is. And we can go on our separate way. But I have no desire to have sex again until after I'm married. And I said, I'm doing that to protect my heart because I have been used in the past for that. And it's just biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was a point in time where the Lord was heavily convicting me of sexual sin. And I had repented for it and turned from it. And sure, it wasn't perfect, you know, but I was trying at that time. And it's just like, you have to have that. You have to set that precedent because if you don't,
yeah, you can't go back.
No, you can't go back. And so, yeah, we had that hard, awkward conversation, and it is going to be
awkward at all.
Well, it wasn't for us, but it can be very awkward.
Yeah.
I was blessed that you had the same perspective and you were in the same boat, and you're like, actually, me too. I think for a lot of people, that's not the response they get, and they get why. Or that's not normal, or everyone's doing it, or God will forgive us. Like, you know.
Well, just a challenge, like someone out there needs to hear this. Like, it's one of those things, if you are in a brand new dating relationship and both people have bad relationships, bad marriages previously, challenge yourself, ask the tough questions.
Yeah.
Hey, did we honor the Lord in those relationships? And if you didn't, why not? That was what our conversation looked like. Hey, like our previous relationships, both of us were train wrecks.
Yeah.
Why don't we give it a shot of doing it right?
Yeah.
Because it's what we're called to do biblically.
Yeah.
Like, and we both made that decision and then followed through on it and honored him and look like, our marriage isn't perfect. Our walk has not been perfect. We're growing every single day, but the Lord has blessed that.
Yeah. He's had favor on us. For
ask
sure.
ask those, like if you're in a new relationship, and you know, your partner has been through a lot as well.
Yeah.
Ask that question, like, hey, like, why don't we give it a shot? Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, because like I said, it's really, really hard, if not impossible, to go back after you've been there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So, once you open that door, it's really, really hard to leave
that
door closed.
That's my last one. I think you've got one more.
I do. Last one for me is that they honor what they say they're going to do. He's a man of his word. I think that just is obvious why that's so important, because I think from the get-go, when you start dating someone, when you start talking to someone, it's easy to put our best foot forward. Mm-hmm. I think we even might've mentioned that in the Red Flags podcast episode. And it's easy to say you're going to do something and follow through because you're head over heels for them. But then as time goes on, it's easier to let go of that morale, and it's easy to let go of that, you know, promise that you made to them or standing true on your word. That is one thing I'll say about Jordan is he does what he says he's going to do, and you do it with excellence. And I love that about you, babe. I know. And, I think we both do that.
Yeah.
For the most part. Yeah. Mine might be a little delayed because I've got 20 tabs open in my head, but I promise I'm going to get to it.
Yeah.
And I always do. And
just looking at your computer sometimes stresses me out with how many tabs you have open.
Yeah. Welcome to my daily life.
Yeah.
But you know, that overflows into like, not even just marriage, that overflows into my career, like, and how I manage my team and my assistant. And, you know, I tell her like, hey, I'll get to that in a couple hours, and it might take me 3 or 4 hours, but I am going to get to it. I always hold true to my word. And, I think that just says a lot about someone's character.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, all we got.
That's it. You're yawning. It's 10 o'clock. Why do we always record these late?
I don't know.
We have some exciting things that are happening in the next month with Hazel and Lane and with the podcast. And I haven't really mentioned this up until this point, but my next goal with Chiseled and Called is to actually have a video studio to where these are video recorded as well. And I have some really, really, really exciting guests that are on the horizon. Mm-hmm. And we're going into some big, big topics. Deliverance, New Age, yoga. Marriage stuff, our fertility journey, things. We actually have some updates on that. Just there's so many moving pieces. And so I just want to encourage anyone that's in a season of waiting, we're right there with you. And you're not alone, and keep pursuing the Lord at all costs, because he wants your heart more than anything. And if you don't have joy in your heart without that one thing that you're praying for, that's a problem. You know, he has to be your source of joy. So we'll end on that note. But yeah, thank you guys so much for being here. We will see you when we see you. Yeah. All right. Jordan's nodding his head. He's like ready to go. All right. See you on the next one.